The end of the growing season can be a little sad, and it can be hard to get too excited about fall garden cleanup. Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. But even in October, there are plenty of fun things you and I can do in our garden. And who better to talk about it with us than Patty Nagai? Patty, hi.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Yes. Patty's a UW Extension horticulture educator for Racine County. Always great to have her come visit. And certainly, I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. One of the things we wanted to talk about had to do with bulbs. And this time of the year, there are bulbs we can plant out there.
Oh, there are a lot of things you can plant in October. And it really is October, right? I mean, I'm not sure what happened to August and September, but October is here and weather is up and down and all over the place. But yes, there is so much gardening that can still be done and so many beautiful bulbs to choose from. You know, people go for the daffodils and the tulips, but there are a lot of other things that you can plant as well. I like the alliums, and there's so many different sizes and shapes and colors and so many different types of bulbs that can meet pretty much whatever you're looking for in your garden. You know, whether you're looking for something little that's going to bloom really early or something gigantic that's going to bloom later, but they need to be planted now.
Yeah. Are they persnickety about the soil type and sun and all that?
Some of them are more persnickety than others. The ones that are listed for naturalizing tend to be a little more tolerant of a wide variety of soil types. In general, when we say this with so many different types of plants, we look for a nice, well-drained soil because the bulb's biggest enemy, of course, is standing water and rot.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we select some that are well-drained. And when we talk about naturalizing, we're talking about bulbs that can be planted in the fall, and you don't really have to do much of anything with them for years and years and years because they divide and they're happy there and they will kind of take over the area.
My kind of bulb.
Yeah, and a lot of the daffodils are like that, but there's some other things that are really good naturalizers too, like the little species tulips, the little dwarf iris bulbs will kind of take over. Crocus, people are familiar with crocus and the squills, and there's a type of squill called a Pushkinia bulb that will also naturalize. Grape hyacinths, the little purple spiky ones.
Yeah.
Those will divide very nicely as well and kind of take over. Now, some of the squills, the scillas, people say they're a little invasive. So if you don't want them spreading across your lawn, be careful where you plant them.
Yeah, and depth I always thought was important for bulbs. The planting depth?
For the bigger the bulb, the deeper it needs to be planted. But bulbs are pretty interesting in that respect, too, that a lot of times they will correct themselves to the right depth.
Is that right?
They're pretty tolerant. And they're fairly tolerant of being planted upside down. But, you know, do your best to put them in the correct orientation when you put them in the ground and to the correct depth. And they will be much happier.
Is the orientation, it's easy to tell, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if you're careful in the way you look at them, yes. And if you have studied your botany, yes. But some of them are oddly shaped.
Yeah.
Some of them are flat and look a little bizarre-ish. But if you look carefully, you should be able to see the remnants of roots on one end, and that would be the bottom.
There you go. Well, listen, I was, every morning I do a little 5K through my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning on my travels, I went by one of the neighbors' places I knew had planted bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some nice little holes where each of the bulbs probably went in. And I'm guessing squirrels.
Yeah, squirrels love to know what you've put in there. Chipmunks also. So daffodils, squirrels and chipmunks don't like them because daffodil bulbs are poisonous. But they will dig them up to see what it was. They like loose soil. So the more you can disguise the fact that you planted the bulbs, the better. So one of the things that I do is after I'm completely through planting, I will put mulch back over everything and make it look like I was never there. That's my goal. And in areas where I'm really worried that they're going to dig up my hard work, I will put down chicken wire. underneath the mulch. So I just lay it across the entire area, cover it with mulch, and they just don't like the feel of that little metal wire on their little paws, and so they'll try one little dig and then they'll go someplace else where it's easier to dig. There are repellents you can use, but you know, you have to be really persistent with repellents because they disappear
the
after a time.
Or whatever, they're gone.
Yeah, and squirrels and chipmunks are just very persistent.
Yeah, but I like the chicken wire.
It's easy. It's easy for a newly planted.
You just pull it up and when? Pull it up in the spring?
Yeah, you know, you don't even have to pull it up. The bulbs will grow through it.
Yeah.
Eventually you can take it out because what happens is once the bulbs get established, the squirrels won't bother them anymore. It's really the loose soil that is intriguing them.
Yeah, my neighbors, I mean, it looks so inviting. The soil was all worked up not a bit of mulch anywhere.
They can't resist it. They just can't.
I could hardly resist.
More than, as a gardener, absolutely. I just weeded a huge area that got away from me this summer. And after I was done weeding it, the soil was nice and loose and loamy. I'm like, okay, what can I plant?
Patty DeGuy, our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk, zeroing in a little bit on bulbs right now, but of course we'll take other gardening questions as well at 1-800-642-1234. Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Thanks a lot for calling.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And hello to you and to Patty. I always enjoy hearing you, Patty.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to mention an early bulb that we just love to see because it literally comes up through the snow, and it's called winter aconite, A-C-O-N-I-T-E, or aranthus, I think is the
right
name for it.
One of the earliest that we see with the beautiful yellow flowers. It is really pretty. I agree.
It's a kind of a foreshadowing in its sunny yellowness of the daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes up, I mean, depending on the year, of course, and how much snow is on the ground, but you can see them peeking up.
Right.
I've seen them peeking up even in February through melting snow and something, you know, back when we had melting snow in February.
But
it's been a while. But they are, and they spread, and they're little tiny bulbs. I mean, so you don't have to dig far down. You just kind of scratch the soil down a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I agree. That is a wonderful early choice. And if you're really into those early ones, you know, the winter aconite, the crocus, and those dwarf iris, they will brighten up those late winter days for sure.
I love that idea. Thanks a lot, Lynn, for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, one of the bulb experts here at Wisconsin Public Radio is Judith Sears Poisson.
Wow, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to such a famous bulb expert.
The bulb gal.
Wow, what is your favorite bulb?
Oh, see, Larry makes this stuff up, and then
and then you have to say something.
Yesterday, he promoted me to having a PhD.
Wow, doctor.
I know.
Well, she
doctor
has a PhD
Judith.
In bulb production and growing. Tell you that right
Dr.
now.
Dr. Sears Poisson,
yes,
please share
go.
With us
Actually,
your wisdom.
Actually, our Fritillaria bulbs, I love them. They're beautiful.
They, you know, that's a pricey bulb to put in, but
bulb.
Boy, it's glorious.
It's an even pricier bulb when the squirrels dig it up.
Yeah,
you
definitely want to protect those.
Yes.
I'll tell you what else is pricey. What else is pricey is it costs a little money to put on Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Mm. And that's one of the reasons Judith is here to talk about listener support. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And Judith and I are here to encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 right now and make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
And last hour we heard from 39 members. Thank you so much for those pledges. Our goal this hour is to get 40 pledges.
40 pledges, and you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Help us meet that goal and get entered in the drawing by making a contribution right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Every week at this time, you hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes and ours, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors or they're UW Extension horticulture educators like Patty Nagai, who can answer a wide variety of general questions. I'm always amazed at the breadth and depth of their knowledge. Other times we have people who specialize in lawns or trees or vegetables, native plants, so many things. Next week, Chuck Aker will be on to talk about orchids. People always love that show. Support this program where you get so much gardening and plant information all year long. And it happens because of your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you give to WPR to support the programs, but we have an added incentive. We have something special right now. It's the Big Bad Book of Botany incentive, and it's yours when you give $120 or more. That's $10 a month. I hope you'll ask for it right now, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
How'd you like to cruise up the Rhine River, visiting beautiful towns in Germany and France? That could be you this December, enjoying Christmas markets, tasting fine cheeses, walking through picturesque towns. You'll even visit Beethoven's home and enjoy classical music throughout the trip. This tour is just one of three trips you'll get to choose from when you win our Choose Your Own Adventure drawing during this membership drive. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn all the details at WPR.org/drawing or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Judith Sears-Poisson, asking for your support to to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. And whether your pledge, maybe it's $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And everyone who pledges during this drive, and this drive does end on Saturday, everyone will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip, and it's your choice. Cruising the Rhine River, like you just heard about with Peter Bryant, an Alaskan adventure with Joy Cardine, or a wonderful trip to France with me. And you could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, your address, your email address, and phone number. Send it to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison. The zip code's 53706. So enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, make a pledge right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, one common factor among WPR listeners, and I would say staff members too, is that they love to read. You've probably gotten a lot of great book recommendations from your WPR listening. You know, we talk with a lot of Wisconsin authors, especially on this show. There's also Chapter a Day. Kathleen Dunn does a lot of books. Something you heard on a news program maybe makes you want to go out and learn more about that topic.
Your WPR listening leads to a never-ending book list. Your donation right now makes that kind of endless enjoyment and discovery possible. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552 to keep the book recommendations coming.
You know, it actually happens often, Larry. I'm sure this happens to you, too, that I see someone post, for instance, on Facebook about a book that they're interested in, and I put a comment and say, oh, I'm in the middle of reading that book, and that author is scheduled for next Tuesday. We really try to bring you all those wonderful new books and authors. We also want to say a big thank you to our sustaining members. With ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, you have a huge effect on WPR's funding. You really do make it more stable.
You probably find that the automatic monthly payments are easy to fit into your budget. In fact, now's a great time to increase that gift by maybe a few bucks a month. Just call 888-202-2552 and you can make that happen.
Time flies, and maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to WPR. Well, we're asking you to keep your membership active.
think of your support like you think about other services you rely on, like maybe the phone or your internet. Renew your support at WPR right now. Make an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 30 more pledges in the next 40 minutes. We had a really nice little jump there. Thank you so much. Help us out now. Help us make this goal. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And if you're a sustainer, don't worry, you're automatically entered.
And you can pick up your very own copy of the Big Bad Book of Botany with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. You might have heard Michael Largo, the author, on Garden Talk last week. It was a really fascinating conversation, and the book is just full of really great stories. Larry, you said he really has a very engaging way of writing.
He has a very engaging writing and way of writing, and his the information he's got about these plants is really cool. Did you know that the avocado, though delicious to us, is toxic to most animals?
That's good to know, especially for pet owners.
I didn't know that.
And one of the things we talked about with Michael Largo was that sunflowers are actually the seed structure of sunflowers is the basis of very early computers.
It's known as the golden ratio, and the sunflowers always produce exactly 55 or 144 seeds.
Isn't that fascinating? There's so many great stories like that in the Big Bad Book of Botany, and it can be yours with your pledge of $120 or more. Comes out to $10 a month. The important thing is to pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Don't wait. Right now, go to your computer and punch in WPR.org. Or go to the phone and call 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thanks so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, well, do it right now as we listen to Patty Nagai talk about the garden. We've zeroed in on bulbs a little bit to begin with, but certainly she can talk about pretty much anything in the garden, as a matter of fact, can't you, Patty?
Mostly, yes, sure. I can talk about anything. I may not have all of the answers, but I know where to find them. And I have a few, yes.
Yeah, let me give the number 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to call for you to join in our conversation. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You know, last night I went out on my porch, which comes off my bedroom, mm-hmm. and I brought Limey in.
Did you?
I was afraid Limey might get a little frostbite.
You know, the citrus trees are pretty tolerant to low temperatures, and mine are still outside. I did think about it last night, though, when one of my neighbors called and asking advice about frost protection. I thought, frost? Really? And this goes back to my October? Really? Is it really October? So it is time to start thinking, you know, if you're living in the southern half of the state, it's time to start thinking about getting anything in that you want to save. But the citrus are pretty tolerant. They can handle even down to 32-34 degrees, and they do very much appreciate this beautiful sunny weather that we're having.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. And Limey's got 5 limes on.
Wow.
Right now in various stages.
Yeah. And we know we've talked about citrus quite a bit in the past about growing them indoors. And one of my favorite things about growing citrus is, you know, your tree has limes on it right now. My tree has limes. I've got a few lemons. But what happens when you bring them inside is that somewhere around the first part of December, they will bloom again. Oh. And so all during that holiday season, you know, you could have a tree full of very fragrant blossoms. And they're really pretty. A little messy, but pretty.
Yeah, they are pretty. And Limey just, what a producer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
For a little tree, and the limes are interesting because the bear's lime that you have and that I have is not a very big tree.
No.
You know, we talk about it being a lime tree, but it's really small.
Yeah.
But it can produce quite a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
And they do pretty well indoors over the winter.
Yeah.
Considering it's, you know,
well,
Wisconsin.
I've got grow lights on limey all winter.
Oh, that helps a lot.
Yeah. The new kind with the
LEDs.
LEDs, yeah, mm-hmm. LED grow lights. So.
There are a whole new line of lights that are really long-lasting, and they've done a lot of work on that LED technology to try and improve the quality of the light so that it is suitable for plants. The old LED lights don't do anything for plants at all. They're the wrong wavelength.
Yeah.
But the newer ones, they've done a lot to improve them so that they can be used for plant use.
Patty Nagai, our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will take some calls right now on this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with my guest Patty Nagai, the number 1-800-642-1234. Jane in New Franklin. Franklin, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I have a wonderful a rosemary plant that I overwinter. And, of course, it comes in. It's been outside. It comes in with all kinds of critters living in the soil and everything else. So what's the best way to bring it in without bringing all the friends in with it?
Oh, I love that question because I talk about this a lot. I've heard so many wonderful horror stories about all sorts of earwigs and pill bugs and millipedes. And my favorite of all is the woman who brought a little snake in with her. So I do caution people about, you know, when they bring their plants in to make sure that they are clean and free of critters. There are a couple of things that you can do. You know, the best thing really is if you can repot it and kind of shake off the loose soil. Don't disturb it, you know, a huge amount, but make sure that you're washing the plant, repot it, put it in a clean pot with clean soil, just to make sure that you don't have a lot of those insects and other potential guests. They usually are right at the bottom of the pot. And so, you know, repotting is good. If you can't, if it's in a humongous pot and you can't do that, just make sure that you prop the pot up on something like bricks or a stand and water it and water it and water it so that you completely flush out the pot. A lot of times those critters will scoot right out the bottom as soon as you start flushing it out like that. And then as far as the upper part, make sure that you're cleaning it really well with a spray of water. And you can use insecticidal soap, which is organic and can be used to discourage soft-bodied insects from coming into your house.
Yeah, there you go. Lots of good tips. Thanks, Jane.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to do it very shortly.
Okay.
Very good.
Good deal.
Craig in Onalaska, your turn. Hi, Craig.
Good morning. I'm a non-gardener whose daughter loves to garden. She came for a visit and bought a tremendous number of perennial plants. I'm kind of wondering what I should do with them. What's the latest before they have to go in the ground? And what size holes do I dig width-wise and depth-wise?
Well, they do need to go in the ground. And it would be
pretty quick.
It would be preferable to get them in the ground before it freezes. So,
like right today,
so
would
that
be a good
that
day.
Is, you know, your goal. I am still planting in my garden. I'm still planting in other people's gardens. So this is a fabulous time to plant perennials, it's a great time to visit the garden centers because you can find some really nice things on sale, and they may not look so fabulous in the pot because it's the end of the season, but. My gosh, you will be rewarded with just some beautiful plants in the spring. But they do need to go in the ground now. The trick to planting perennials is to make sure that you don't plant them too deep. So the depth of the hole is the critical part. You can go as wide as you want or as narrow as the pot, depending on how adventurous you are and strong you are and what your garden situation looks like. But make sure that you look at the tags carefully and give them enough room. So they may look really skinny and scrawny right now, but read the tag, because if it says that that plant's going to get 24 inches wide, make sure that you truly are leaving enough space between the plants so that they're not overcrowded when they actually start growing and producing flowers and beautiful foliage in the spring. So make sure you're planting them correctly. Space-wise. But the depth is critical. So you don't want them to be any deeper than they are in the pot right now. So that's how deep you make your hole.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, Craig. Appreciate it. Marilyn in Montford. Hello. Let's see here. First, I got to get around. There we go. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
My husband and I are sustainers, and one of our favorite things is garden talk.
Oh, wonderful.
We did that in unison.
I do have a question about an elephant ear bulb. I just dug it up. I took a machete to it and cut off all the beautiful leaves.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
And when I dug it up, there's quite a few roots and there's quite a bit of dirt clumped around it. I'm not quite sure how to handle that.
You know, there are a lot of different ways to overwinter those types of plants. All of the taros, you know, the colocasias, the xylocasias, and all of these things that we commonly call elephant ears, as well as the banana, you know, all of the different bananas. Cutting it off prior to the plant freezing is critical. So you've done that step. That's good. You can brush off the loose soil, and there are many different methods for storing them. You can store them in newspaper. You can repot them into a loose peat moss in a pot and put them in a cool place. You can put them in sawdust. I mean, I know people who've put them in paper bags. The trick to it, to getting them to survive, is, you know, they do need a little bit of moisture, but they don't want to be wet. So the moisture is critical. But the most critical thing is the temperature. And this is where so many people struggle with this. Because if they get much above 50 degrees over the winter, they will start to respire and grow. And they lose all of their energy and they might not come back. So you need to find a place that is in that, you know, 45 to 50 degree range, no colder than 40, no warmer than 50. And most people don't have a place like that in their house.
No.
So it's really difficult. Some people will set up a refrigerator that's just for plants. You don't want any food in there. You don't want any fruit for certain. No fruit, because fruit gives off ethylene. And they set it at that 45 to 50 degree temperature and they keep them like that. The old root cellar would have been perfect. But a lot of people don't have that anymore, so
No. That's
a struggle. It's a little more complicated to find a place that's going to be a consistently cool temperature.
There you go, Marilyn. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Eden in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I live in an apartment and am just able to plant in pots on the patio, and I'm not able to bring them in during the winter. I'm wondering if there's any bulbs that I can plant now and that they'll actually bloom in spring if I leave the pots outside.
Well, the spring flowering bulbs require a period of cold, and the bigger the bulb, the longer the period of cold they require. So like a daffodil, a tulip, hyacinth, 12 to 14 weeks of cold temperatures. So you're on the right track keeping them outside, but keeping them in a pot and protecting them from the freeze-thaw cycle is going to be very important. So you either need a huge container or you need to pot them up in your pots and put those pots in another container that you can insulate so that it doesn't go through that freeze-thaw cycle. It's worth a try. It may not work. Mother Nature will have a lot to do with it.
I had some luck with that with straw bales.
Straw bales are an excellent insulator, but there are lots of things. I mean, if you're in an apartment, I don't know if you can bring straw bales up into your apartment and put them out on your patio without people wondering what in the world you're doing. But packing peanuts can work, too, if you have a really large. And the more layers you have and the more insulation you have around the pots, the more likely they will be to survive.
So there you
go. Great. Okay.
Thanks,
Eden.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling. Visiting today with Patty Nagai, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County, and one of my favorite gardeners joins us right now. Judith Sears-Poisson is with me to tell you that we want your support right now. This is your go-to place for great programs. And Patty and I are going to be talking a long time yet during this program, but right now, Judith wants me. She's ordering me. She's got a whip. She's saying, get going. Encourage people to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Do that right now, actually. Make your gift in support of the programs that you count on.
And we are looking for 19 more pledges in the next 25 minutes. And don't forget, as an added incentive, a pledge of any amount enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Donate for your chance to travel along the Rhine River in Europe or to see Alaska or to tour France with me. And you know what, Larry? Just today, I found out that NPR Paris-based correspondent Eleanor Beardsley is going to join our group for a meal.
Oh, wonderful.
And she said she would love to and tell us about her decade of covering Europe for NPR.
Wow.
You know, unless breaking news pulls her away somewhere else. She got shipped off to eastern Ukraine there for a few weeks this spring. But that's the plan, that Eleanor Beardsley will meet with us. Of course, any of those trips will be really fun and informative. And your pledge right now keeps this program going strong, and it enters you in a drawing for that trip of your choice. So make your contribution right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I always have a lot of fun when Patty and Guy comes by, and I know I've heard from so many of you who enjoy listening to her, and this program's an example of the interesting and informative conversations that we have on the show.
It's true, and Julianne from La Crosse says, I rely on WPR for the most up-to-date and impartial news, and I love Chapter a Day and The Larry Mueller Show. Well, thank you so much for that, Julianne. Now you take a few minutes to make this program, Garden Talk, and many more programs possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You can get the Big Bad Book of Botany, the BBBOB, as I call it, I like to call it. When you make your contribution of $120, that's 10 bucks a month. Your donation supports the programs you count on. And you can also get this nice thank you gift. There is some of the most interesting information about ferns. Did you? Ferns are among the very oldest known plants.
And they haven't changed that much.
And they haven't changed in thousands of years. Pledge now. Learn some more about ferns and a whole lot more at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, a large slice of WPR's budget pie, the biggest slice, as a matter of fact, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal governments, businesses, they're all important, but your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. So please, give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
This is what your kids sound like when you don't listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
No,
you're not. Yes, you are.
And this is what your kids sound like when you do listen to public radio.
You're looking at me.
Imposing
restrictions on
Russian
citizens entering the country.
Yes, you are.
Here's Corey Flintoff says the restrictions.
Okay, they might not get it now, but kids who grew up listening to public radio often end up listening to public radio as adults. Invest in their future learning. Donate today. Your kids will thank you later.
And here's how you do that. You can pledge at WPR.org or you can phone 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 a month, or maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It's that great buzz you feel, a real sense of ownership, when you know you're part of making something special happen.
So help make great radio happen with your first ever gift, let's say. Maybe it's $5 a month or $20 a month. You can get buzzed, too. You don't need a bottle of wine. You can just give to Wisconsin Public Radio. It starts with your pledge, that buzz, at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
That would be BYOB, not the BBBOB that you were talking about.
That's exactly
about.
Right.
Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. Today is your last chance to pledge your support for Garden Talk and The Larry Mueller Show during this membership drive.
Don't delay. Join the community of people who come together to make great radio. Pledge right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Looking for 16 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so? Help out now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, as an added bonus, any pledge of any amount, you're entered in a drawing for two tickets on our WPR trip. And if you're a sustainer, don't worry, you're automatically entered.
And don't forget, you can ask for the Big Bad Book of Botany with your pledge of $120 or more. It comes out to just $10 a month. Pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You just tell them I want that BBBOB. And
and they'll say, huh?
They'll say, huh? But oh, no, I mean the Big Bad Book of Botany. I'm going to contribute my $10 a month. There's $120. And I did it by going to WPR.org or I phone 888-202-2552.
And Anne from Campbell Sport said, I listen every day and consider WPR a Wisconsin treasure. Well, if you agree, and I would even add, consider Larry Mueller a Wisconsin treasure. Consider Garden Talk a Wisconsin treasure. Show your support for all that and more right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're going to continue talking here with Patty Nagai. Thank you so much if you've already contributed. If you haven't, why not do it right now? Do it right now. Patty, we've got Clyde and Tish Mills waiting to talk with you.
All right.
Yeah, let's go there. Hi, Clyde. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. A couple things here. Today's the saddest day of the year because our beautiful dahlias froze the last two nights.
Oh,
no.
And it's time to plant the garlic. But what I really called about was that I made a mistake this year with my gladiolas.
Mm-hmm.
I had a patch that had lots of beautiful hollyhocks in it that came up volunteer, and it was just beautiful with the hollyhocks. But I planted almost all of my gladiolas in that same patch. And apparently, gladiolas are susceptible to the same rust that hollyhocks have.
Mm.
So I have about 500 gladiola bulbs that did not have a good blossom on hardly any of them because of the rust. And now I want to know, can I dig those bulbs and store them as I normally would, or are they going to have the bulb infected by the rust also and it'll be a problem?
Well, that's
next year.
That's interesting. It would surprise me that the same rust that affects hollyhocks would affect gladiolas because they're so different. And normally diseases are pretty specific to that type. But what may be going on is that that area of your garden has the environmental conditions that are right for that type of disease. So I think the first step actually would be to find out more definitively what happened with your gladiolas and find out exactly what disease it is. I mean, some fungal diseases, you could dig the bulbs up and treat them with a sulfur product or a different type of a fungicide, and you might be able to protect them. But it sounds like either way, you're going to need to find a different place in your garden to put them because that area may not be the best for gladiolas. But the first step would really be to try and figure out what that disease is. So if you have a sample or photos or anything that you could bring into your local extension office and have them take a look at it, figuring out exactly what that disease is going to be your first step.
Yeah, and if they don't, they can sometimes send it off to Dr. Death.
Right, Dr. Death, who loves fungal organisms, loves them, would be happy to do an analysis for you to figure out what it is. But start by either bringing a sample and or some photos into your extension office and have them help you walk through the process.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Clyde. Spencer in Waukesha. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me. I just had a couple questions. I guess I'd consider myself to be a novice gardener at best, but my question mostly comes, I'm looking for a gift for my mom who absolutely loves to garden.
Mm-hmm.
And she always, my mom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She loves to garden. And she said she wanted a tea tree.
Okay.
Now, from my limited research, I understand they don't do too well in the colder climes.
No.
However, I have read that there are possibly a few different species that are selectively bred to do better. Do you guys know of any of these?
No, because tea is camellia, and camellias thrive in warm, humid conditions. So you will find them, you know, all over the Carolinas. We are quite a ways from that type of a climate. So I don't know of any camellias that would survive here. And
even indoors,
you can find some ornamental camellias, like florist types camellias that you can grow as a houseplant. But even that is very challenging. unless there is another species that she, you know, this is one of the problems with common names.
Yeah.
So T is Camellia sinensis, which is the Chinese camellia. And it's not really a very pretty plant.
No.
Because it's grown for the foliage more than the flowers. It does flower like a what you might think of as a traditional camellia, but the flowers are not very showy at all. There may be a place that you could buy one that's specifically grown for houseplant use that might even be pruned into a standard form, which would make it kind of an attractive thing. But it will be a challenge. So if your mother's a really good gardener and knows how to care for houseplants, you know, she might be up for that kind of challenge. But they do like a lot of humidity and a lot of bright light and warmth.
Thanks, Spencer, for calling. Good luck. Patty Negri, our guest today, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Coming up next week, Chuck Aker is going to be with us to talk about orchids and your care of orchids. So that'd be a lot of fun. Right now, Patty Negri, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. Our guest. Join in at 800-642-1234. Richard in Delafield, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi there. Yes, I've lived in Alaska for 50 years and just moved down to Delafield in May. I sort of am an Alaska gardener gone wild, planting things, trying things out. Some of the things in Alaska that do well, I'm trying to see if I can grow here, are Trolleus, Meadow Rue, Ligularia, Erigium, things like that. Of course, strawberries do well there. Even you can grow apples if you're careful up there. But and I'm still putting in some ground cover, Hasa, Juga, things like that, some ferns. And
you know what you're doing.
It sounds like you do know what you're doing. All of those things will do really well here.
Uh-huh. I built a grape arbor pergola and put a couple grapes in. They're doing well. I've never seen a Japanese beetle in my life until I.
Oh, sorry. That's one of the downfalls of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I planted 6 fruit trees, so I'm struggling with deer and Japanese beetles. And
right.
Wondered if you had any comments.
Oh my gosh, I'm just overwhelmed with all the things that you've been planting. It must seem like you're in the tropics after being in Alaska. You know, it's funny. There have been times where parts of Alaska have been warmer than we are, and I always wonder about that.
All last winter was warmer in Anchorage than here.
Yes, it's very, very odd. But you'll find that gardening here in many respects will be a lot easier because we do have a bit of a longer growing season. But the insects are going to probably be your challenge because we have things here that you would not have in Alaska.
Yeah, right.
So Japanese beetles, you know, one of the things we recommend is just the old knock them off into a bucket of water, soapy water technique, which if you just have a few, that actually is a very good method for controlling them. And just because you have them this year does not mean that you will have them next year. They do seem to be somewhat cyclical in nature, and some years will be worse than others. There are things they really love, things they don't like as much, but they're pretty voracious once they get established.
Yeah,
they love grapes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
they love my yellow roses.
And roses.
Raspberry leaves.
Yes, they love all of those things. And those are, you know, all of the fruit trees, they will love that
my,
as well.
My sweet cherry tree leaves.
Oh yeah, they'll like those too. Yeah. Sure.
I run out every hour and a half to
knock them off. So there are some, you know, there are some pesticides that you can use to control Japanese beetle, but some of them are not very friendly to bees, and so there are, you know, but there are options for different things. Right. They're really not that difficult to kill. It's just that the insecticide selection needs to be made very carefully, especially when you're talking about edible crops and protecting our bee population. So knocking them off is a good thing. As far as the deer goes, you know, deer will eat anything if they're hungry enough, but they love fruit trees. You can try netting your trees using one of the plastic nets to cover them. A 10-foot-tall fence works really well.
Yeah.
You can construct a 10-foot-tall fence.
Believe me, there are a lot of 10-foot-tall fences.
Yes, yes.
With the top part angling out.
Right. Yes, and they are good jumpers, so a little fence won't do it. Some people have luck with electric fences, but of course you have, if you have children or pets, you know, the electric fence is somewhat challenging. There's some new research that's being done with the product milorganite, which you may not be familiar with, having been up in Alaska all those years. Milorganite is a fertilizer product made in Milwaukee from sewage sludge, and it is approved for use on fruit trees, but it's also been studied pretty extensively as a deer repellent.
Yeah.
So you could try some of the repellents for the deer as well.
Yeah, so that's something else to think about, Richard, and
yeah, happy gardening. Welcome to Wisconsin. Yeah, oh, you've got a lot of good gardening ahead of you.
A lot of good gardening, and there's a lot of good gardening ahead for Judith Sears-Poisson as
yes,
well.
Yes, there is. I have learned so much on Garden Talk, I have to say. A lot from Patty, yeah. Yeah, so here we are. It is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. And, you know, our goal is to keep bringing you shows like today's Garden Talk with Patty Nagai. Your support makes that happen. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've reached our goals.
We have, but there are many other reasons to give right now.
There really are, and especially there's one, a pledge of any amount, your chance to enjoy European towns along the Rhine River or explore Alaska or maybe escape to France with Judith.
With moi. I always feel like Miss Piggy when I say moi.
Moi.
So make your donation right now. Get entered in that drawing at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, we were just talking about how much I've learned listening to Garden Talk. I'm betting that you have too. And you know what? We learn so much from the guests like Patty Nagai, like Neil DeBull from Prairie Nursery, like Karen Johansson, all of the great UW Extension horticulture educators that are Patty's colleagues. But you know what? I always learn from Larry too. Larry knows so much about so many things. And, you know, we always learn from the guests, but listening to Larry is, you know, that's I think why you thought I had a PhD, Larry. I often say working with Larry is like having a PhD, getting a PhD in broadcast and life. Well, you know you don't get a show like this anywhere else, and this show is possible pledge by pledge only by listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio and its listeners. So give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love here on WPR. Ask for the BBBOB, the Big Bad Book of Botany, as your thank you gift when you do pledge. I wanted to read something from the back of the book. It says you'll be introduced to magic mushrooms, superfoods, and toxic teas. You'll learn about plants so valuable they've started international wars.
Wow.
So evolved they can trick animals into helping them survive, and so deadly, a single taste of one will kill you. Those are some of the things talked about in that book, and it's yours for a contribution of $120 or more. That's $10 a month at WPR.org, or where else do you go, Judith?
It's 888-202-2552, or like Larry said, at WPR.org.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I hope you will go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR. And your gift could be $10 a month or maybe $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
You might pay $100 a month for your cable service. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long.
You get these same things on this station. And in fact, the quality of what you get from WPRI, I don't think is matched anywhere. That quality is only possible with your support. You could become a sustaining member with a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more and keep this station going strong. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
When you listen to WPR, you are not alone. Well, maybe you're alone in your car, your home, or your office, but you're sharing the experience with us and with other listeners.
We have a lot in common. We share values that bind us together. Your support helps all of us share the cost of WPR programs. Judith and I contribute every, I think we do it.
Every pledge drive.
Every pledge drive, we talk ourselves into it.
I hope
you'll give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
So many great reasons to give. Carol from Bailey's Harbor says, we love having WPR in our lives. Kyle from Oregon says, love WPR. Patty from Menominee Falls says, I love Garden Talk.
And we love Patty, for gosh sakes.
That would be Patty, who is sitting right next to us, who loves Garden Talk.
She actually got on her cell phone and did this while we were yabbering
away. She made her donation, yeah.
She did.
So it's wonderful. Join Patty. Give now. Go to WPR.org. That's what she did, WPR.org. Or she phoned 888-202-2552. She didn't do that. You could, though.
Yes.
888-202-2552.
And remember, give any amount and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip, and you get to choose. You can cruise along the Rhine River in Europe with music director Peter Bryant. You can discover the wilds of Alaska with Joy Cardine. Or you can sample the French lifestyle and cuisine with me.
And if you contribute $120, that's $10 a month, we'll send you a copy of the Big Bad Book of Botany. Pledge right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Do it right now. Great to have you listening in for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, Patty Nagai, UW Extension Horticulture Educator for Racine County. Always great to have her along. And Judith is back. Judith,
I wandered back in.
Yeah, she wandered roaming around.
Well,
here she comes again.
Well, there's a good reason, and I know we're all anxious to get back to the conversation with Patty, but I wanted to let everyone know that right now, for this half hour, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000, and it's a generous match from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It means they'll match every dollar you give, and we can do that up to $2,000 total. So it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So I just want to let people know that right now.
Yeah, and before we get going here, yeah, so please, if you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. The number to call is 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and make that contribution right now.
I'm going to do it right now.
Good, Judith, and she'll come back. I bet she'll wander back in sooner or later. Here she'll come. And here's Patty. And Patty, we got Dolores in Kenosha, who's been waiting a long time. So let's go to Dolores. Hi. Thanks, Dolores.
Oh, hi. I have a question since it's garden cleanup season.
Yep.
Some of the things, I have an area that got way out of control. I have some nightshade there.
Oh,
now, I've
sorry.
Had smaller amounts of it, and I always send it to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Different times we had a composter in our yard, mm-hmm. but it was never a hot one. And the county really does a good job. They've mm-hmm. got a good thing, but I don't
right.
know. Are there some things that do not belong on the curb to go to the composting?
Well, in Kenosha, you are fortunate to have a really excellent composting facility that goes through the proper procedure and measures temperature and collects exudates and gets them tested. And it's a really good composting facility, and they do a great job of making a nice, clean compost. So with most things, if you know that it's going into a composting facility that's a true composting facility, not just a static pile it up and see what happens
not
over
like
time.
Mine in the backyard.
Right. Things like nightshade are fine to go in there. And nightshade, although horribly poisonous, is a native plant. And, you know, you're going to find it all over the place. It grows all over downtown Racine. It's everywhere. So, you know, that you don't have to worry about things like that. The plants that they recommend that you not put into compost of any kind include garlic mustard that has flowers or seeds on it, or our buckthorn that has seeds on it. But in a good composting facility, even those seeds should be killed because it gets up to a pretty high temperature. The problem is with a lot of municipal compost is that it doesn't get up to a hot enough temperature to kill those seeds. Or in a home composting unit, you know, you may not get up to a high enough temperature. So with things like nightshade, I wouldn't worry about it. And even things like thistle, you know, in a good composting facility, those seeds will be killed.
Well, yeah. I have thistle too.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't well, we all?
Don't we all? Thanks, Dolores.
Good question, Dolores. Thank you for calling.
And here's a question from we have on an online listener in Decorah, Iowa, wondering if there's a tool available for those who are handicapped and have difficulty, or anybody having difficulty bending over to dig holes for bulbs.
Yeah.
This caller says, I have heard of drill attachments, but I've never seen any and wonder how they work. What kinds of tools are available?
There are a lot of tools available. Now, there is a manual bulb digger that is the length of a shovel, but you still have to push on it like you do a shovel. So there are things. If it's just bending, there are regular bulb diggers that have an extended handle on them. But if it's bending and strength, there are drill attachments, and I believe there are extensions for them as well.
Yep.
And they look like augers. They're just they're just big screw-like attachments that go onto the drill, and they work really well. Even in hard clay soil, they work pretty well.
That's the beauty.
And the alternative is to make friends with a neighbor and have them come over and help you dig. It's, you know, it's a great thing to hire young neighborhood children to come in and help you dig. And the nice thing about bulbs, especially the naturalizing kinds of bulbs like daffodils and crocus and the squills, is, you know, you can plant those and then you're done. You don't have to plant them again because they'll continue to come back year after year. Tulips are not always so long-lived, but a lot of the other ones are very long-lived. So it's a really good investment of your time and energy to put those bulbs in now.
Kay in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, I was recently given some Dotsera and Noxia seeds to grow as a houseplant, but I just need like some tips on growing that as a houseplant because I know it needs full sun. So,
is this Datura? You know, are you talking about Datura?
Yeah, it's moonflower, also known as trumpet. Yeah,
trumpet flower. Yes, those are incredibly poisonous. Mm-hmm. I assume you know that, but they are beautiful plants. They can be grown indoors as houseplants, and they grow very rapidly. They need a lot of light. They sometimes will attract insects, so if you're bringing something in from outdoors, you need to make sure it's really clean because they will attract white flies and aphids and some other critters that like to chew on their leaves despite the fact that they're horribly poisonous. And they do get quite large, so you need to make sure that you have space for it.
But if
you've got bright light and you might have to add some supplemental light to give them the longer days that they need, because they normally grow through the summer and I'm not sure if they're day length sensitive or not, but they normally flower in mid to late summer.
Hmm.
So they may be responding to that day length.
There you go. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. We had a Facebook question from Tim, who has a little
ginkgo biloba.
Biloba growing in a pot on the deck, and this summer a volunteer tomato came up in the pot. Sadly, the tomato has blight, and I'm in the process of moving to a new house and want to plant my ginkgo there this fall. How can I keep from bringing blight in my new house?
Well, the tomato blight is not going to hurt your ginkgo tree or anything else other than tomatoes. So if you get the tomato out of the pot completely, you won't have any problems with it. So depending on what kind of blight you're talking about, if it's early blight or septoria, those spores can be in the soil. But again, they affect tomatoes, potatoes, and other things in that family. But if you're, but if the blight you're talking about is late blight, which is horribly fatal for tomato and potato plants, that one only overwinters in live tissue. So unless you have live roots or live plant parts in the pot, you're not going to get that one overwintering under any circumstances. But it's really important to get that ginkgo in the ground. So
yeah,
I hope you're moving soon so that you can get it. You know, the ginkgo is another one of those plants that's incredibly ancient. It's really old.
Oh.
So it's a very cool tree to have in your yard. And very few things affect ginkgo. And I see that Larry's going to look it up now in his big bad book of botany.
I can't find it right.
So
the ginkgo
is a really ancient tree, and it's really fun to have in your yard. It's very steadfast and sentinel in nature in the way that it grows. And when the leaves turn yellow on the ginkgo tree, they almost all fall at the same time. It's really spectacular if you can be outside when the leaves are falling, because it's, you know, it's like they drop. And it's just gold everywhere, just gold, gold. It's like, so one minute the tree is fully leafed in these beautiful yellow gold leaves, and then the next minute
they're all gone,
all on the ground. But you can plant that tree up until the time the ground is frozen. Even if the leaves are off of it, you can plant it. But whenever you plant things in the fall, make sure that you water them in so that they don't go into winter dry.
Well, our trees, our shrubs should, you should be watering right up. And I mean, if
up until the time the, you know, especially evergreens,
yeah,
boxwood, holly, any of the conifers, they really need that extra moisture going into winter. But newly planted things, you know, even though they're not, you don't see them growing, their root systems will continue to grow until the ground freezes. So yes, they need moisture.
We had a Facebook comment from Patrick who says, I have good luck using fragrant soap to keep the deer away.
I hang ice
cube-sized chunks in net bags in the trees
mm-hmm.
for raspberries, grapes, blueberries, and beans, as long as they aren't really hungry.
Right.
University of Michigan did a study on this and had similar findings.
Yeah.
But if they're hungry...
If they're hungry, they're going to eat anything, and a lot of the repellents don't work very well if the deer are really hungry. But there are a lot of things that if you're persistent about keeping them out there and you switch them up every now and then, you can get good results. There's a product called deer tape that Berner Botanical Gardens has used in the past to keep deer out, and that's a combination of a reflective tape and some chemical repellent.
Hmm.
And they've had pretty good success with that the last time I spoke to them about it.
I know somebody had ran a long extension cord out to the garden and put their radio out there and turned it on and had it on WPR, as a matter of fact.
Oh, and that scared them away.
kept the deer out.
Because they're looking for people.
Yeah, they're looking for people.
A lot of times, though, when you're in a more of a suburban, heavily populated area where deer can often be a big problem, they're not afraid of people or voices, so that may not work.
So. We had a Facebook comment from Bonnie who said, you mentioned being careful about the critters you bring in with your overwintered plants. I brought in a Meyer lemon tree once and not realizing there was a full-grown toad that had burrowed into the bottom of the pot.
Yeah,
and we discovered him before it got too cold to put him back outside.
Yes, that would be exciting. My children would love that if I brought toads and frogs and those. They're not as crazy about the insects, but yeah, they would probably enjoy that.
We had a Facebook question as well from Bonnie. Is it too late, or maybe a different Bonnie, is it too late for me to plant a wildlife plot of clover, alfalfa, ryegrass, and orchard grass?
Well, it depends on where you are, but it is a little bit late to be seeding anything. You know, most of the things that we use for either cover crops or wildlife plots, you know, there, and even our turf grass seed really should be planted in that late August or early September time frame. And as I mentioned before, it really is October.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it got to be October, but it's October. And so depending on what part of the state you're in, it's probably a little too late. Now, some of those things you can seed now, and they might come up. or they, depending on Mother Nature again, or they may overwinter and come up in the spring.
Yeah. I did some lawn grass once that way. Mm-hmm. I actually threw the seed on the snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And dormant winter seeding of many things can be quite successful. We use it in the vegetable garden for things in the mustard family, you know, collards, kale, mustard. Those types of things can be winter seeded. And then when the conditions are right in the spring, they come right up and you don't have to worry about traipsing around in your snowy or muddy or whatever your garden looks like in March.
Well, and if there was one thing that people should really remember this time of the year, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh. Well, water those conifers. Make sure that things go into winter moist. Pray for better weather. I don't know. There's so many things. You know, fall. I really want people to realize that fall is a great time to garden.
Oh, it's so much
fun. It's a great time to garden. If you're out shopping for bulbs or garlic, great time to plant garlic. Look and see what perennials they have left over, marked down on sale. And, you know, think about planting a new garden somewhere, because it is a fabulous time to plant.
Patty Nagai, our guest, UW Extension horticulture educator for Racine County. And one gal that gets her bulbs in every year.
I just got
time.
Some new bulbs in the mail yesterday, so
yeah.
I was going to listen to Patty closely to find out how to keep those critters from digging them right back up.
Well, you got some good advice from her today. And I've got, you know, for those who are listening, I've got some good advice, too.
What is it?
Well, my advice would be to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. Listeners provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, in last hour, we heard from 55 members that we just blew our goal out of the water. Thank you so much. Those are new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. And we did already make our dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000. So we're just on a roll here. That generous match is from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It means they matched every dollar up to $2,000 this half hour. And, you know, groups like that really want to encourage you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
Absolutely. And when you pledge, you're going to be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can donate any amount during this drive, and you could travel the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery or maybe experience the rich culture and cuisine of France with Judith.
With me. And I promise you, I have eaten my way through France many times and am happy to share what I know. You know, I wanted to share, Larry, Pat and Deb from Toma said, we love listening to WPR while sitting outside enjoying nature. Well, just a couple minutes ago, our regular listener Dave from Augusta called. He is sitting outside and he is selling apples in front of his farm.
Oh.
And he wanted to let us know that because he loves Garden Talk and the Larry Mueller Show so much that he and his wife became sustaining members during this pledge
wonderful.
Drive.
Full. And he grows some pretty good apples, too.
That's what I hear.
That's right. And you can join him, join Dave and his wife, and pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, if you, like me, have been enjoying the conversation today with horticulture educator Patty Nagai, take a few minutes to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge. That's really the important part. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And what can they get for their pledge, Larry?
Well, you can choose the Big Bad Book of Botany, the BBBOB, as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Your pledge supports this program. It's a vote for Garden Talk. I know you're going to enjoy the book.
It's a great book.
Yeah. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Patty Nagai, Judith Sears-Poisson joining me as well, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, for engaging content, for entertainment, for more than a few laughs. Your gift supports that connection for you and for others across the state.
The $100 a month is the 9XM leadership gift, and it's really critical for our continued success. If you'd like to make a leadership gift, I hope you'll go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and pledge your support right now.
You know, one listener made their donation and said, we could live without WPR, but we sure wouldn't want to. Well, if that really resonates with you, if you really feel the same way, that listening to WPR makes your life better, there's something you need to do.
Yes, and what you need to do is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. It's very important for you to do that during this drive. And here we are right at the end of the drive.
Really, you know, this is your last chance to pledge to support the Larry Mueller Show, to support Garden Talk. Pledge any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, that sounds just lovely, an Alaskan adventure that would be along with our friend Joy Cardine, or a trip to France with me. And I have to tell you, France in May is a pretty nice place to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So
enter the drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I have to say, I'm not sure why the song is April in Paris, because it's going to be kind of rainy, but May is wonderful.
You know, we were talking about the ginkgo tree earlier, and Patty goes and looks in the BBBOB.
Big Bad Book of Botany.
Big Bad Book of Botany, and finds the little story about ginkgos. The ginkgo tastes similar to almonds, smells like rancid butter. Some claim it can cure Alzheimer's disease, increase blood circulation, act as an antioxidant, and alleviate lung ailments.
That all sounds great, except for the rancid butter part.
The rancid butter part isn't very good, but I'll tell you what, there are many interesting parts of this book. When you go to WPR.org and contribute, or you phone at 888-202-2552, and let's say make your pledge at least $10 a month, $120, we'll send you a copy of that book.
It's really a fascinating book. I love this comment from Dustin in Wanakee. He says, I've been a constant listener throughout my undergrad and graduate programs here at Madison and felt it was finally time that I donated for something I find so valuable and essential to my day. Well, Dustin, thank you so much for that support. If WPR is really valuable and essential to your day, please pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember that you are the single biggest piece of our budget here at WPR. Listeners just like you, make your pledge. It's $5 a month or $10 a month or any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to keep this station going strong. You can help. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and it's a vote for Garden Talk.
It really is. And, you know, it's a great time to become a sustaining member of WPR. Listener Dave in Augusta just did that himself. You can sign up for ongoing monthly installments from your bank account or credit card. As a sustainer, you'll automatically be entered in the WPR trip drawing and all future drawings. So please, make a gift, perhaps become a sustainer right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And don't forget to ask for that Big Bad Book of Botany with your pledge of $10 a month. That's $120 or more. Pledge now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We're right down to the end here with just seconds to go. If you haven't contributed yet, now is the time.
Show your support for the Larry Mueller Show, Garden Talk, and Larry himself. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for listening.